Is everybody awake? Huh? Yeah? All right. Oh, the mic I'm losing. Well, I have a message to give to you guys today. It's probably going to be a little short, but maybe that's okay. I do want to start with a word of prayer because we need the Lord. Amen. So, Lord, we thank you for blessing us with good things. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us about you. And I just pray that you would help me communicate your heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. I wanted to talk about a specific thing today, kind of dealing with where our hearts are, or what our motivation is with things. And what I wanted to start with today is in Isaiah 6. If you want to turn there, it's probably a very familiar story to everyone. It's about Isaiah when he maybe is having a little crisis of belief. The king that was a good king just passed away, and now a new one's coming into power. And if you're a prophet to a nation, you can get yourself in a lot of trouble by speaking the words of the Lord. And if the king doesn't want to hear it, you know, you might have some issues. So here he is. He's the year that the king died. He says, I saw the Lord on his throne and his train filled the temple. So he's seeking God, and all of a sudden the heavens open up and he sees God on his throne. And it says the train filled his temple, and it starts to talk about what heaven is like, and he starts to see these angels, and he's getting asked questions, and you know, he's going through this experience with the Lord, and he sees that, you know, God is maybe even greater than he ever imagined. You know, the angels are saying, these weird creatures are saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, and he's just being overwhelmed by all his senses, and he's in this experience, and he's there, and he doesn't know fully what's going on. And you know, it says that the everything was shaking, the doorposts were shaking, you know, just because of the presence of God. I can't imagine. Can you? It must have been amazing. So he starts to go through this, and he starts to realize his own state. Even though he maybe was one of the most righteous people in his nation, he says, woe is me. I'm undone. Because when you're before the Lord in all of his majesty, how can we stand? Whoa, we're undone. So it says that an angel brought a coal from the fire and touched his lips to purify his lips, because he said he was a man with unclean lips, and he lived in a nation of unclean lips. See, he realized that it wasn't just him, but it was all the people around him. When you have negative people all around you, it just helps you to be even more negative, doesn't it? So here he is in this place of realizing he needs to be touched by the Lord. And so he's touched. And then he hears a message, you know. God speaks from the throne. He says, well, who's out there I can send? And I can just imagine he's looking around and saying, I think I'm the only one here. Besides the angel, he must be speaking to me. So he says, yeah, I'll go. Send me. And he says, well, what's the message? Can you imagine going through this experience and now God's going to send you and do something maybe wonderful for the world? And what is the message? Well, is it of the Christ is coming? Is it God is good? What is it? What is the new thing that you want to say to the nation? Well, look what he says. It's not what I would have said. He says, go and tell the people. They keep on hearing, but they don't understand. They keep on seeing, but they don't perceive. Making the hearts of the people dull, and their ears heavy, and their eyes are shut. What a message. Would you like to give that one? What is this message? How is this encouraging for the people? And then he almost says on the end, he says, well, you know, lest they understand with their hearts and they turn and I'll heal them. Well, that's a little positive, but it's coming in a way that says, well, you might turn. And if you do, I'll heal you. I'm not looking forward to it, but that's the way it almost sounds to me. I'm not looking forward to healing you, but if you do turn, I will touch you and I'll heal you. That's what it sounds like to me. It sounds like a negative message. Then he says, well, how long I got to preach this? He says, well, until all the cities are laid waste and the inhabitants are completely wiped out. What a message. You just went through this amazing experience with God and all the angels, and now this is the message? Well, what is this message? What is God saying to us? Well, what God is doing is stating what our heart is. The message is just a message of reality in our natural state. What are we like? We hear, but we don't understand. We see, but we don't really see. Our ears are shut, and our eyes are closed. But if we did open our eyes, and if we did unstop our ears and turn and actually believe what God was saying, that He wants to heal us. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13. Jesus actually takes these scriptures and He quotes them in the middle of an increase of His ministry, where this is a time when Jesus had done a lot of miracles and had traveled around, and all the people were all excited to hear about this new prophet that's in the land, and so they all gather to where He is along the seashore, and they're all standing there ready to listen to what Jesus, the new message, is all about. And Jesus tells them a parable. And the parable is one that we all know, and we have been given the understanding of it. And it's of the sower. What is the parable of the sower all about? But it's about our state of our heart. See, it's the same message that is given to Isaiah. Jesus tells us the state of our heart. And He tells us that there's now four different conditions of our heart. One, you know the story, is if you read through it. One is the rocky soil, and two is the one with very little soil, and three is one with thorns all in it, and the last one is good soil. So He tells this, and in verse 10, the disciples come to Him and say, hey, why are you teaching us in parables? You finally got the people to gather, and now you just tell them stories that they can't understand? that don't make any sense to anybody? Are you missing it? You can almost hear that in the disciples' question. You know, why are you teaching them in parables? And Jesus says, the mysteries of heaven, the kingdom of heaven has not been given to them. Why? He says it wasn't given to them, but whoever it has been given, he's saying it shall be multiplied. And whoever has not been given to, what he has will be taken away. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see. And hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. And just like the prophet Isaiah said to fulfill it, which he said, hearing. Now notice the way it's stated here versus in Isaiah. Jesus is quoting it, but he's changing it slightly. Hearing you will hear and shall not understand. Seeing you see, but do not perceive. For the hearts of the people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes are closed, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they turn and understand with their heart and turn, and they shall be healed. See, a few more words have been added to the Isaiah scripture that Jesus is trying to communicate that there's a turning, that there's a turning or a repenting. If the people repent from their ways, that then he'll come and heal them. He goes on and talks about how the prophets wanted to understand these things, but they didn't. But now you, the disciples of Jesus, were now given to understand. And so then Jesus goes in to begin to interpret the and give us the understanding of the parable. And he starts off, he says, for anyone who hears the words of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away, and what was sown in his heart, that he is who receives the seed along the wayside. See, this first word picture that he used along the wayside is primarily only the picture that Isaiah gave us, that they hear but they don't understand. They see but they don't perceive. And their hearts have grown dull. But Jesus comes and he takes that scripture and now he expands it into three other categories. See, we're not just left with this case of not knowing, not understanding, not perceiving, but that he now adds on three other possibilities. Where there's something there, there's some understanding, there's hope that can be increasing in our lives, and just not perceiving, not understanding. Because in the second one, there's a little bit of soil. And when the word comes, the seed grows up and it flourishes for a while, but then because of the lack of soil, the lack of understanding, not a full understanding of what God is doing in the earth, it dies and it withers away. See, there's some hope from the first one to the second one. Isaiah is primarily just about the first word picture. But when Jesus comes and he's given to us more understanding, that there's a little bit of hope. for some people, that they'll have some understanding. The second one is the soil is pretty good, the heart is pretty good, but there's mixture. There's thorns and things that are in there that pull you away from the Lord. And I know many of you have experienced this, and I have experienced it too, that those thorns and the worries of this world come in and take over and start to just squeeze off the life. This year I've been building a gazebo, and because I've been building this gazebo, I've been distracted from weeding my garden. And so I have these raspberries that these vines and that I normally pull out early in the year. These vines just wrapped themselves up all up the raspberry bush. And you know what? I got some fruit, but it wasn't anywhere as near what it was other years, because some of the energy, some of the hope from the soil now was squeezed off coming up to produce the fruit. So because I did not manage my time and put some of my time into helping deal with this plant and take away what was going to just choke it away, it suffered. And I reaped less than what I would like to. The fruit was smaller and the fruit was less. Right? So here's the word picture that I want us to think about today. You guys sit here every week, maybe in home group, and you hear the word of the kingdom of God every week. You hear that God loves you. You hear that God is good. You hear that God wants to do something in your life. Are you hearing it anymore? Are you understanding it anymore? Or has it just become words to you? See, I think there's a danger in all of our lives. Every day when we wake up, that we begin to hear the words about the kingdom of God, and are we really perceiving it? Because if we really believed what God was saying He was going to do with us each day, maybe we'd be behaving differently. Maybe there would be more fruit in our life. So when we come in to worship the Lord and we sing the same songs over and over again, do they mean the same in your heart that they did when you first sang them? Is there something of the Holy Spirit, you know, the work of the Holy Spirit when you're singing that song that brings you life, or are you just singing it? See, there's an aspect of the Isaiah scripture that to me speaks of a religious spirit. A religious spirit is a spirit of the devil that is something of a substitute of the real thing, where you now just come to church because that's what you do, where you read the scriptures because that's what you know to do. But does it have life in it for you? My hope is that we begin to or just continue with the Holy Spirit every day when we wake, that we're excited about what God has for us that day. And that when we hear the word of God, that God is good, that it relates to you and you see it, you understand it, you hear it. And it motivates you to overcome whatever difficulty you're going through in your life. The circumstances that we all have around us that can choke us off, and yet we can pull that root out by the Word of God. See, the worries of life cannot choke you off if you're by the Word of God pulling that root out of your life. So it does not impact you because you're walking by faith and not by sight. How do we overcome these things but by the Spirit of the living God within us, that we are able to work through these things and overcome, be overcomers in our life? But when we stop, then all of a sudden, when we hear the Word of God, it does not compute anymore. It's like our eyes are shut and our ears are closed. I know this message is, I meant, and I understand that it's something to encourage us all to want to continue in the Lord. But we also need to understand, as we're praying for our family and for our friends and our neighbors, when we speak the Word of God to them and they look at us with a glass eye, like they don't get it at all, that then we see that they are under this spiritual influence of this blindness and with their ears closed. And how do we overcome that? Well, I want to say that it's a spiritual issue.
That's true.
It's primarily a spiritual issue. So how do we overcome to help our families, to help our friends, to help our neighbors? So that when we speak the Word of God to them, they can perceive it. And as they do perceive it and they turn and come to the Lord, then they will be healed. Many times we pray for them that they would be healed, but they're still sitting there in darkness. Their eyes are closed and their ears are shut. So there is the spirit of the age that's all around us, that's encroaching in on our own faith and our own belief, that says, oh, you heard that before. Jesus died on the cross for you. Yep, we live in a Christian country. We all know that. But what is the impact? The true impact from the kingdom of God, that Christ came, the Son of God came on the earth and lived like a man and then sacrificed himself for the forgiveness of our sins. See, there's a scripture that says, that Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, he starts off and he says, well, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power for salvation. Let's look at that. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. Because in Ephesians chapter 1 is also the solution for us. And I want to end with that. I guess that scripture is not in Ephesians chapter 1. It's in Romans 1, right? Yes. But anyway, in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul begins to have this prayer. He says in 17, he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him, and that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know the hope of your calling, which and are the riches of His glory, the inheritance of all the saints. You see, there is this intercession, there is this prayer that we need to ask the Lord, the God who brings revelation, to bring revelation to ourselves and revelation to those around us. Amen. And unless we begin to really intercede for this and fight back in the power of the Lord against this spirit of a religious spirit and the spirit of blindness, spiritual blindness on the people, then we cannot really begin to see the impact that we want to have when we begin to share our lives with those around us. So one thing I understood from our meeting that we had last Friday night, the last worship and prayer time on Friday night, we began to worship and praise the Lord, and the Lord began to speak to us about what the strategy is, what a new strategy is. And the understanding I was getting out of that was this new strategy is begin to worship and praise Him, and then in the midst of that begin to intercede in a way that we ask for them to have understanding. Because without understanding, without their eyes being opened, they cannot turn and be healed. We see our friends and our neighbors and our family wanting, and we want them to be healed. We want them to be touched by God, and yet they have this blindness about them. And it's a spiritual condition that they're living in. And it's the same spiritual condition that we fight against so we can understand it. So, my conclusion or message is that we need to begin to ask the Lord to help us with this spiritual blindness, with this spiritual understanding, that we can begin to have our hearts opened and be able to help people have their eyes opened. So I was hoping today that maybe we can have a time of prayer right now. And if you want to come forward for prayer, that's fine. If it's something that you want to pray for personally, or we can begin to pray as a congregation for those around us that are impacted by this spirit of this age, this spirit of the religious spirit that causes this blindness, that causes this condition of the man's heart, that it's full of pride and keeps us from hearing the truth about the gospel. Do you have people in your life that you want to see come to the Lord and have their, this blinders lifted from their eyes, that they could begin to see what the truth is? I do. So let's start to pray. Let's start to intercede for those around us that are completely blind and held back from when we speak to them. They say, yes, 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 I believe that, and yet their life has nothing to do with God.